You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right. Well, hour number three, my gosh.
So fast today.
So fast. I mean, I'm questioning whether we can get all three dippers in today.
I don't know. You got a good bit on this one right here.
We did, and I got some good stuff coming up next. I got to go to the text lines though first, so let me do that because we got some good stuff in here. Monty from Huntsville, he's the one who said he's an old S2, which means the intel officer for whatever unit. He says, remember, an MOS may have a security clearance requirement. So MOS is your mode of service. It's what you are in the military. You know, I was a branch infantry officer, so 11 Alpha, but MOS for infantry soldiers, 11 Bravo. Anyway, he points out you may have a security clearance requirement, and I agree. It still doesn't excuse whether or not you're going to have supervision. Jeff from Indiana says it would have been a lot cheaper and a lot less painful. Oh, he's talking about your leg stretcher, Boomer. So he says, it would have been a lot cheaper and a lot less painful if the guy would have just identified as somebody 5 inches taller.
There you go.
We were laughing, too. What did Courtney say, or McQueen? What did McQueen say right before she walked out the door? He'll probably go on a dating app and a girl will go, well, if you had just gotten six inches
taller. You're like, I just grew 6 inches.
Now I'm too tall. I still have to wear heels. I can't wear heels with you. Yeah, so whatever. Wow, 100. By the way, where was that? Was that here in the U.S. or somewhere else?
I believe is. I have to do a little bit more digging. Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yep.
And what, the guy's a multi-gazillionaire? Or?
No, he started off as an Uber driver, and he just saved up. He saved up for 2 or 3 years.
That's a lot of Uber.
That's a lot of Uber. So that must have been like his second gig, and that's all he did just to save up.
Wow.
That's a lot of Ubering.
It's a lot of Ubering.
But then, so he did it in two different things. He did one procedure and grew, I guess, 3 inches, and then wanted another 3 inches.
Oh, so it was not all one procedure.
It was two procedures.
Still.
Yeah, I know. Still.
God. I mean, so, okay, maybe he did quite well because he was escorting a 21-year-old airman from the Air National Guard.
It's probably what it was.
To his document.
Back and forth, back and forth.
God. Jason from Huntsville corrected me. Military occupational specialty. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. It was off the cuff, and I could not remember, but you're right. Military occupational specialty, MOS. What else we got here? I mean, the texts are popping in as I'm reading, and I can't keep up. What else we got? JT from Lacey Springs. If they really want a worthwhile bill, it'd be no touching in the car among siblings. There's a law, children. Sit still. Keep your hands to yourself.
Hey,
mommy, Johnny's on my side of the law says you can't be on that side of the seat, Johnny. Get back on the other side. That would have never been enforceable as my kids were growing up.
Never.
You know what the game changer was for us?
What was that?
That was the minivan with the rear captain's chairs.
There was the gap.
There was the air gap. I air gapped my kids.
Air gap.
Awesome. Frank from Huntsville. The Dollar General put an out of order sign on the Coors and Miller cooler and zip tied the door shut to force you to buy Bud products. He's got a picture. They did. It says out of order, and you can't get to Busch or Coors. You got to go to the Bud Light cooler. I'm telling you right now, man. Someone needs to go down there from the Coors and the Busch distributors and go, wait a minute. We did not go Dylan Mulvaney on you, and you're doing this to us? That's just funny. What else we got? I saw one that was funny a minute ago, and I'm trying to find out where it was. Oh, shoot. New on the text line, by the way, Devin from Brownsboro. Glad you're in the team with us. Thank you very much. Michael from Huntsville. Oh, this is what it was. Mike from Huntsville regarding the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney spokesperson thing. He says, Yeah, well, truth in advertising. The dude's not really a woman, but Bud's not really a beer. I got awesome listeners. Oh, my gosh. Jeff from Indiana texts again real quick. Maybe the guy from Minnesota did it for work reasons because he couldn't reach the pedals. It's not work comp. He's self-employed. Shane from Madison. The Air Guard leaker will claim transgender, LGBTQ, whatever the alphabet of the day is, and we'll get a slap on the wrist, maybe some jail time. I hope not, man. In fact, you know, I'll tell you, Shane, that brings up a good point. So what he did, this kid did, apparently, was he took the documents. He also took some handwritten notes, apparently. And then he went to his online chat forum where, at 21 years old, he was allegedly the oldest member of the group. There's like 30 of them. And they called themselves like an online family. And one of his online family members says, no, he was like kind of like the leader of the group, and he tried to do things to, you know, teach us responsibility and to talk about his faith, they said. And then he posted these pictures allegedly because he wanted them to understand the world around them. Well, I got news. He was really trying to show how important he was, because there's no way in the world he needed to do that as opposed to just read a newspaper and clip an article. Oh, I dated myself there, didn't I? Does anybody read newspapers and clip articles anymore? Okay, there's that. And then Parts Guy from Albertville says, energy management and control to supply America with thousands of EV charging stations. Well, guess what I'm going into next, Parts Guy? You are on the money. So next part of the Triple Dipper here. We'll start it right now. The Green New Steel. The Green New Steel. So at every single turn, it seems like, you know, it's an existential threat to our very existence, the very idea. Now, think back through the seasonal events that we had throughout the last, 40 years, 50 years. Acid rain, remember that? Acid rain was destroying the ecosystem as we knew it. Where's acid rain now? Yeah, it didn't happen. The new ice age is coming. The new ice age, we will all be frozen over. We're going to be buried under snow and ice. And yet we're not. And then it was, you know, we got global warming, just the opposite. Global warming, the ice caps are going to melt. The seas are going to rise. We'll be underwater before you know it. And that was supposed to have already happened by now, and it hasn't. And now they don't know what to call it because they keep messing it up, but they needed something to hang their hat on, so they just call it climate change. And every big storm comes along is because of climate change. And so the nanny state has gone into full mode on this, man. It's an existential threat. It's part of the defense. By the way, the National Defense Authorization Act, I believe, contains efforts related to, you know, stem climate change, because that is part of our national defense posture. Really? However, occasionally we have victories, and here's the very first one. So you've heard me talk on the show before, I hope, about the Waters of the United States. The Waters of the United States rule that was announced by the EPA in the Obama administration, which we can go ahead and refer to as the Obama-Biden administration, because that's where he took all the notes that he's using now, apparently, and all those documents he stored by his Corvette. But the Waters of the United States rule would have allowed the government to intervene in a variety of capacities to regulate the flow of water or the use thereof everywhere. It was so beyond the pale. Intermittent streams that only have water when it rains. Retention ponds on your farm. Irrigation systems. I mean, it was like it was getting to the point of being absolutely ridiculous. Waters of the United States? Well, they're supposed to be navigable, aren't they? That pond on my lake is not navigable, and it's isolated. And oh, by the way, I built it. That pond on my farm, I mean. Well, just so you know, the Waters of the United States was that it was either repealed or rescinded or in some way modified, basically made it better under the Trump administration. Kind of went away, and everybody went, oh, thank God. And then, of course, Biden got elected. Well, allegedly. Anyway, Biden's in office, and the Biden administration immediately put it back in place. So the Waters of the United States rule is going to curtail farms. It's going to entirely disturb our agricultural agribusiness. Well, a judge in where is he? North Dakota. A federal district court judge in North Dakota, Judge Daniel Hovland, just literally enjoined this, I think it's yesterday. This is the story off of Fox News dated, yep, yesterday. A federal judge granted the request. Actually, it was done, yesterday, from a coalition of 24 states and several industry groups to block environmental regulations redefining how water sources are protected. His quote was, "A balancing of the harms and an analysis of the public interest supports a finding that the risk of harms to the state is great." In other words, if you do this, states are going to be harmed. "There is little public interest," he said, "or any efficiency gained by implementing a new rule which codifies the current significant nexus test before the United States Supreme Court." So he relied upon an old decision, which is supposed to do, using precedent, and found that this did not meet the test that had been established by the Supreme Court in the past. Therefore, it was not enforceable. Therefore, it has been struck down. Therefore, they are moving forward. Therefore, farmers are breathing a huge sigh of relief. So that happened yesterday. Now, when we get back with this, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. We're in the Green New Steel. Where is the city that's banning gas stations? I'll tell you. And then on top of that, if we're going to go EV cars, is it getting worse? Like they're doing it sooner? Yeah, brand new ruling out just this week from the Obama administration. I'll tell you about all of it when we get back. The Green New Steel. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, before I go on with this part of the Triple Dipper, I got to tell you guys about the Elm Foundation. That's Elm, E-L-M, the Elm Foundation. And they're based out of Huntsville, a 501c3 that's doing amazing things to better people's lives. It's just so cool. And so the Elm Foundation, here's what they do. They actually get involved with the individual. They walk them through the process of becoming a more productive citizen, get them off the streets, help them with the process of, you know, like learning the job skills, putting together a resume. And then they also provide them accountability, like, okay, we're going to meet with you. We want to check your milestones, make sure you're doing certain things. And they hold them accountable, but in a way that embedders them. It's not like it's a punitive thing. They're working with the person and providing them the insight and the questionings and the accountability, basically, that you need. Anyway, all that to say, whole lot different than the government's version of throw money at it and see what happens. So the Elm Foundation, E-L-M, that stands for Expect Little Miracles, based out of Huntsville. Here's their website, ElmHSV, that's E-L-M-H-S-V, as in Elm Huntsville, .org. Check them out and see it. And by the way, they're a 501c3. When they receive charitable contributions, just understand if you decided you wanted to donate to them, that they would have every bit of that, 100% of it, going into programming because they have one benefactor who covers all of their administrative costs. Their staff's paid for. Anything that's donated after that by anybody else goes into programs. So check them out, Elm Foundation. That's ELMHSV.org. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, jumping back in, the Green New Deal. Oh, I got a caller on the line. Let me grab that real quick. Line one, Jeff Rowe from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Phil.
Good. Hey, what's on your mind?
You talk about an out-of-control EPA. Now this, we sold some property here a few years ago, and this is in the woods at the top of a steep hill. There were some ruts, maybe about 15, 20 feet long and maybe 6 inches to a foot deep. And they had a bunch of flags around them when they surveyed it. And I asked, I said, why do they have those flags marking those ruts? He goes, well, that's a wetland.
What?
And we were at least 1,000 feet away from any navigable water, but if you had a paper boat, maybe it would be navigable. if you got a big steep hillside somewhere, if you put a big pile of dirt down on your property and it rains and it causes some ruts in it, that's a wetland. You can't touch that no more.
Wow. And, you know, these kind of things were happening left and right. I heard stories about, like, you know, the farm builds a pond to hold water to help fund, you know, for the cattle or, for that matter, for row croppers to use for irrigation. But because they built a pond, it then suddenly became subject to the waters of the U.S. rule. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And what you have to do, the company I used to work for needed some riverfront property, you know, was going to fill in a little hole. And they had to buy property somewhere else and dig out as much to for there to be as much water as what they the hole they was going to fill in.
You can't make this stuff up. I mean, if you sat down trying to write out, like I said earlier in the show about the guy with the documents, if you tried to write out a script about this, you couldn't look more suspicious than what we're hearing with the waters of the U.S. rule.
There's a lot of people who need to get a life. they need something to do.
but Jeff, climate change is an existential threat to the entire United States, the world maybe. It's just...
To who?
Yeah.
I'm all for climate change myself. Well, bring on global warming, Nick. Okay, I kind of enjoy seeing honeybees in December in Indiana.
All right, man. Be safe on the road. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good...
See you, buddy. So, yeah, the Green New Steel, it's always something. And so here's an idea. Why don't we just start curbing the free market now, too? What does this mean? Okay, so... Story off the Washington Examiner. Just last month, I didn't catch this until I was getting ready for the show. The town of Louisville, Colorado, passed an ordinance limiting the number of gas stations allowed to operate to only 6 in the town. Now, it's not a big town, population about 20,000 or so, but I don't know what their metro area is like. They're just right outside of Boulder, I believe. But the town of Louisville, Colorado said they did this to help push people towards electric vehicles. So the town council is going to say, the free market no longer applies here. We will tell you how many gas stations you're allowed to have. Now, I don't care if you have 50 gas stations. The ones that provide the best and cleanest servicing, maybe have the best, you know, convenience stores attached to them or whatever else, those are the ones people are going to come to on a regular basis. The free market will take care of itself. But here's what they said, quote, we have an obligation to take every step possible to address the changes to our climate that are ravaging our planet, directly impacting the health, well-being, and livelihoods of our constituents that we represent in Louisville, said the council member Maxine Most. She's the hostess with the mostest, apparently, and she's basically saying, we know better than you, and we're going to make sure that there's only 6 gas stations. You know, if that population grows, I guarantee you, if people are having to wait in line to get gas, they're just going to take their gas buying revenue somewhere else, right across city lines. It mandates, by the way, the gas stations have to be 1,000 feet apart, 1,000 feet. So you can't have one more than about, you know, what's that, about a quarter mile? And then it also requires the installation of electric vehicle fast charging stations for any new gas station. And you have to have a minimum of 2 electric vehicle charging stations or 20% of the number of gasoline pumps at your station. This is nanny state. This is deep into your business. This is telling you what you're even allowed to have. If you want to have 50 grocery stores, the people will sort it out. My gosh, they can't figure it out, y'all. We got more, though. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I love living here. And, oh, by the way, that means we're down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure, and proud of it. And we'll see. Maybe I have to amend the way I say that sometime soon.
But maybe.
We'll see. I got to tell you real quick, the folks that have been with us since the very beginning of this show, ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions is kicking it. They keep having people that tell them they heard about ZLA on Right Side Radio. And they just had one of their biggest years ever. I just know for a fact, too, they had a big month. Because what they're doing is putting people and jobs together like crazy right now. So if you are looking for a job yourself, you can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted right now. They're hiring for all over the place. But at the same time, if you're an employer and you need people, man, that is their bread and butter. They can find you the onesies and twosies with special skills, or for that matter, they can literally just pull together an entire shift of people for you, do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing. They will get you the folks. You just point them in the right direction, they'll do it. But yeah, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. I know these folks personally, and they are big sponsors of this show. So if you talk to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Let me jump over here real quick before I go back to the dipper that we're on, the green new steel. So Michael from Sylacauga, he says, with regards to the guy who walked out with all the documents, said, I'm not defending this idiot, but it's hard to feel right holding him accountable when Hillary's never held. That was his earlier text. He comes back and says, whatever they do to him, they need to do double or more to Hillary. I do not disagree, Michael. Gray Falcon from Ardmore, he says, these people do realize that no matter how much the United States does, anything and everything we do is offset by China and India. That's the green new steel stuff. Yes. So somebody's got to provide leadership, they say. Okay. China's lighting up more coal-fired plants right now than anybody in the world, like times 10. No kidding. And yet we are limiting our capacity for anything. We're reducing our grid capabilities while increasing our grid requirements. I'll come back to that in a minute. Joe from Owens Crossroads. I guess he's talking about Joe from Owens Crossroads. I guess Jeff from Indiana just called in, and Jeff's one of our truck driver listeners, Right Side Ruffians. He says, now what percent of our listeners are thinking about Buc-ee's right now? Probably a lot. Ron from Tuscumbia, talking about the nanny state bill that says can't touch your phone. He says cell phone issue is a public safety issue. Some fool wiping out kids at a bus stop. I do get it, Ron. And I don't say that it's not, but what I'm saying is at some point there has to be a measure of self-determination and personal responsibility. And I recognize that people are going to be irresponsible, but then again, Ron, how do you enforce this? That's part of the problem, too. You just created a new mandate on local law enforcement that exceeds their capacity to be able to enforce it. And by the way, when they drove past you and you saw them with something in their hand, was it their phone or was it a wallet? Did they have something else in their hand that doesn't even relate to a phone, but you thought it was, and now you give them a ticket? I mean, this is an unenforceable opportunity here. If they're a distracted driver, I agree, that's a problem, but... All right, what you got? Boomer's what, raising his
what's
hand.
What's to say?
Yes, you in the first row. What
what's
have you
to
got?
Say women putting on their makeup?
Lord, that happens.
You know, I mean, that it's the same thing. There's more than a phone that distracts people. I understand that they're trying to make it more safe out on the road.
Yeah.
But it gets into a lot of hairy stuff.
It does. And you got to look at it and go, where does it stop? Mm-hmm. I mean, how far is too far on government getting in your business and saying, don't do that, or make sure you do more of that. Speaking of which, let me get back to my dipper. Epoch Times reports that as of yesterday, President Joe Biden further accelerated the nation's switch to electric vehicles. In other words, we were already doing this under his authority already. Hey, he wants to speed things up a little bit. Okay. So the changes announced on April 12th, which is yesterday, would affect virtually all gasoline-powered vehicles on U.S. highways, save consumers an estimated $12,000 in fuel and maintenance costs over the life of a vehicle, and avoid almost 10 billion tons of carbon dioxide emissions through 2055, according to the EPA. That'd be the Biden EPA. The move aims to further the president's goal of having 50% 50% of all new cars and light trucks and 30% of new medium and heavy duty trucks sold in 2030 be zero emission vehicles. No such thing. No such thing as a true zero emission vehicle, because somewhere someone had to generate the power to get that thing charged up. So when you buy that cool EV, man, all the styling cues on here, the digital screens, ride so quiet. I got to plug it in and charge it up. And where'd the power come from to charge it? Well, that's the problem. So the EPA estimates that the new rules will result in 67% of new passenger vehicles and light trucks being EVs by the year 2032. Huh. Along with 50% of buses, 35% of short-haul freight tractors, 25% of long-haul freight tractors. By the way, if you're a long-haul driver and you have to stop for gas periodically like you do, how long does it take to charge one of those bad boys up if they're electric?
Ooh, that'd be a long time.
Can you imagine having to pull in and do that? You might as well just go ahead and get back in the sleeper, you know, just crawl on the back and watch a video for a while because it's going to be charging for a bit. So anyway, critics are claiming the move, which will increase the price of new cars, was made without consideration of the ability of the nation's supply chain to even meet that demand. So, yeah, you're talking, these rules are supposed to be in effect and productive in the next 7 years, 6.5, actually. That's not going to happen. It's just so arbitrary. And by the way, though, the major automakers are saying they'll do what they can to get there by the year 2040, but they're not going to make 2030. So the rule change comes 10 months after six major automakers, Ford, General Motors, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Jaguar, and Chinese automaker BYD. Huh. All pledged to stop selling gas and diesel-powered cars worldwide by 2040. But they ain't there yet. Next article I've got, though, that kind of goes in a segue of that. From National Review, just last month, we cannot have EVs without the E. Makes sense. Man's got a point.
Wow, that was real. That was right on.
Says consumers who are given the choice overwhelmingly opt for cheaper, more reliable fossil fuel sources. Electrification of cars and appliances also creates its own costs in the form of additional electricity generation, my point exactly, and the building of new charging infrastructure. Each policy magnifies the cost of the other. And he goes on to point out, we should not be promoting EVs where there is insufficient E to power the V. He points out that developing countries, the United States, even if we push hard, is going to be having a hard time getting to that point. But what about other developing nations? You know, are we going to be selling EVs to Africa or African nations? Hard to imagine third world countries putting in the infrastructure, but yet third world countries can put a can of gas in the back of the truck and fill up on the trail if they have to. Says the electrification of all or even most passenger vehicles would increase the per capita demand for electric power by about 25%. Wow. While more than 70% of the baseline electricity generation would be retired, that's the ones we use in fossil fuels, would be retired, another 11% nuclear would not expand. So they intend to downgrade fossil fuel energy production sources. They intend to not upgrade nuclear. And they intend to try and put in place something to generate electricity using what? I don't know. They're not going to build more hydro. There's only so many rivers you can dam. So the bottom line is, this is an ambitious goal. It's a stupid goal. We're not going to get there by 2030. We're not. Anyway, all right. Boomer, take me to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and head into the final moments of the show. Got a little bit more on this, the Green New Steel. Looks like it's a two-dipper day, buddy. Two-dipper. Two good dippers, but it's a two-dipper day. All right, I'm fine with that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Coming into the final minutes of today's show, golly, man, the text lines blew up. It's like this.
Apparently I wasn't even paying attention to
this.
This
is a topic that gets some attention, apparently.
Yes, it is.
Mike from Huntsville texted in, says, a friend of mine is a constable. He's traveling quite a bit, and in Manning, South Carolina, he says the airport only had EVs. That was insane. Yeah, that does sound. Terry from Madison, and Terry from Madison says, I've texted before in my car and saw a news flash about something happening in Vanderbilt, but it went away before I could. I don't know what she's saying. He's saying. I don't know what Terry's saying. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate you. John from Huntsville, Boomer gets an A++. Phil gets a solid A. Just an A. You got two pluses.
I got two pluses probably because of my rant earlier at Boomer and McQueen where I was just like,
that
nope.
That means you got my plus.
I got your plus. I stole that plus.
David from Coleman, with regards to damming rivers and all this, says, how many dams can we put on the Tennessee River? How much diesel fuel would it take for the concrete trucks to build the dams? What would it take to build an electric concrete truck? I have no idea. Brian from Huntsville, I want to see a solar-powered submarine. The USS Jimmy Carter, perhaps? That's awesome. Yeah, too funny. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, says, I see a trucker strike in the near future, I'd guess by the year 2030. No doubt, man. I'd be curious how long it would take Jeff from Indiana to do his daily run between Indiana and Alabama.
Oh, that would take forever.
I mean, Lord. And then what happens if you have a storm, power outage, your charging station can't charge overnight? What do you do?
It would be a mess.
You'd have to have a little gas-powered generator.
Yeah.
To charge up your charging station.
Not a little,
station.
A big one, yeah. In the back.
That's right. Like that guy did, we saw that.
Continually plugged in.
Scott from Huntsville, he says, if you know about displacement, you know that melting ice caps would not raise sea level. Same as melting ice in a glass of sweet tea. It never overflows. Interesting. Interesting point. JT from Lacey Springs, electric cars. If they're going to be pushed, then the roof, hood, trunk cover needs to be covered with solar cells. And through the typical workday, one might expect having a fully charged car to drive home. Maybe. Anyway, I don't know what Michael from Muscle Shoals is telling me about using the word Mississippi. I don't know if he's taking issue with it or what. Raven from Russellville. He just says, I want my country back, dang it. He didn't say dang it, but it's a family show, so I'll say dang it. He says, I want my country back, dang it. I hear you, brother. Jason from Huntsville. We had power that even we could not fully comprehend. Talking about the ability of soldiers to get in there and do stuff. I mean, I think is what he's saying. Yeah, anyway. What else have I got?
John from Lexington.
Yeah, what do you say?
He said, all Army recruiters going EV starting next year.
Really?
Rural areas should be a challenge.
So you're going to have Staff Sergeant so-and-so, who's the Army recruiter, getting range anxiety while he drives out to the remote high school to do recruiting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Gina from Athens said EV electric emergency vehicle.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, the ambulance can't get there, ma'am. We don't have enough charge.
We ran out of battery. We're still charging.
Yeah, or we can't transport you to that trauma center in the next city. We would, but, you know, sorry, the charging is still going on. And then Jeff from Indiana just heard us, and he chimed in. He goes, it already takes forever. You go through Nashville twice a day, see how long it takes you. So here's one more thing to add to your woes as we move through the final sections here of the Green News Steel for today's segment. So a Biden nominee. Oh, Lord, these nominees. Where did he find these people? So President Biden's nominee to lead a little-known Department of Transportation safety subagency privately boasted that she would use her position at the agency to push aggressive climate policies. Well, that's what you should do when you're in charge of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, don't you know? That's what they're there for, Boomer, certainly. National Highway Traffic Safety is about, you know, climate change. Her name is Ann Carlson. She's an environmental law expert. Okay, first of all, you took an environmental lawyer and you made her the head of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Somebody tell me what's wrong with this picture. Is it any wonder why I mentioned earlier in the show about getting Senate confirmations on appointments? Anyway, so a response to this by another lawyer is, with agenda-obsessed banks collapsing, a new and constant threat of winter and summer electricity blackouts, and an absentee transportation secretary who waves off disasters when he isn't as flat-out ignoring them, he said even the most blinkered White House might discern a sign that just maybe government appointments are jobs that have actual responsibilities rather than there being taxpayer-financed activist platforms. What a great line. So, yeah, Ann Carlson, the environmental lawyer, has been nominated by the Biden administration to be in charge of the National Highway Transportation Safety Committee. Her response, I view my appointment as evidence that the Biden administration is truly committed to a whole-of-government approach to addressing climate change. Lady, your job's got nothing to do with climate change. Well, it does. It covers fuel efficiencies. Oh, okay. So in August of 21, just months after taking office, Biden signed an executive order directing the Environmental Protection Agency and the Transportation Department to issue regulations on fuel efficiency and emission standards with a goal to push for his 2030 50% EV car thing. Less than a year later, the NHTSA, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, unveiled ambitious new standards that it acknowledged at the time were going to cost automakers about $236.5 billion to implement and eventually make cars at least $1,000 more expensive per car. I mean, but hey, climate change is an existential threat. My gosh. Wait, this is what, and I totally agree. This is what happens when activists are given roles in government and they don't have any clue. They don't know what they're doing. But they know they're there for climate change. Meanwhile, and I think it's the second time I've not been able to get to this. And by the way, there's only so much people will take. There's only, who was it said this minute ago in a text that we're going to wind up seeing a trucker strike and it's going to shut down the U.S. economy if that happens. And I do not disagree. Meanwhile, while the Biden administration is cracking down on your air conditioners, trying to change your appliances, making sure you have new energy-efficient standards for your refrigerators and your clothes washers, it's going to save you billions. No, it's not. It's going to cost us a whole heck of a lot more. In other places, though, they're starting to wake up to what happens when you push people too far. Reuters, by the way, reports this. Dutch farmers got sick of the new green policies being thrust on them that were shutting down their farms, making them get rid of their cattle. They were sick of it. And so what did they, and the changing their use of fertilizers, reducing their profitability. So what did they do? They got political. Dutch farmers formed their own protest party in politics and shocked everybody when they became one of the biggest winners in all provincial elections to determine the makeup of the Dutch Senate. I'm telling you, this is what happens when those policies get so out of hand. At some point, people are going to be fed up and they're going to realize how to come after you and they're going to make it work. They're going to, like the Dutch. Hey, Dutch farmers, you control a large block of the Dutch Senate now. There you go. How do you like me now? All right, guys, listen, what a great show. Good stuff. I think we got some good stuff laid on for tomorrow too. So Boomer and I will be back here tomorrow at Dose at 2 o'clock. You guys have an amazing night. We will see you then.